grew in 2019 from 4 million to 7 million.
One of the most unconventional voices in the roofing industry right now.
I started my roofing company on a $15,000 credit.
Instead of playing by the same rules, she disrupted them.
At the beginning, I didn't understand the consistency of content.
This conversation will change the way you think about growth.
Which is why so many roofing contractors go out of business.
This is AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros, the show for contractors who want to grow without wasting time or money. If you're in roofing, HVAC, plumbing, or any home service business, we break down how AI and modern marketing can help you book more jobs, close more leads, and build a business that runs without babysitting every task.
Most home service companies don't fail because they lack skill. They fail because they wait too long to adapt. Today's guest is someone who didn't wait. I'm joined by Jen Silver, founder of Roofing Utah, and one of the most unconventional voices in the roofing industry right now. Jen didn't grow up in construction. She didn't have a roofing background, and she didn't start her company with funding, investors, or a marketing budget. In fact, at one point, she had $8,000 left in the bank and was ready to shut the doors. What happened next changed everything. Instead of buying ads, she built a personal brand. Instead of chasing insurance jobs, she questioned the entire model. Instead of playing by the same rules, she disrupted them. In this episode, we talk about how Jen grew someone else's roofing company from 1.4 million to 7 million, what it's like to build a business after being left unpaid, why she believes contractors should rethink insurance dependency, how educational content built trust faster than paid marketing, why staying relevant requires being uncomfortable, and how even contractors who are skeptical of AI still need to adapt. This is not a marketing tactics episode. It's a leadership episode. It's a relevance episode. It's a survival and evolution episode. If you're a contractor feeling squeezed by insurance, confused by technology, or unsure how to stand out in a crowded market, this conversation will change the way you think about growth. Let's get into it. What's up, guys? This is Mauricio. I'm the host today of the AI and Marketing show for Home Service Pros. Super excited to have Jen Silver on the podcast. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you? I appreciate you having me.
I'm excited to talk to you. Had a great conversation. I think you have an amazing story. I think it can help a lot of contractors understand branding and marketing. It's going to help them understand how to grow. So We'll get into it. We talked last time and you mentioned that you didn't come from a roofing background. You don't have a construction experience from the beginning. But what led you to the industry in the first place?
Yeah, so I became a single mom in 2016. And when you have little kids, they oftentimes get sick. And I knew that was going to happen. And I needed a career that would have flexibility, but not make me look unreliable. Outside sales makes sense, right? I think most outside salespeople love the job because of the flexibility, but it is commission-based typically, which is a little bit scary as I'm a single mom. So I had to think about what industry made sense. What was a stable industry? And construction is stable. So I decided to take up a job bartending at a local country club so I could meet some contractors, because I realized I didn't know anything about construction, but I am really smart, and got hired at SRS, learned all about the front desk, and moved on from there.
You worked for SRS. Is that the distributing company, or you work for the...
I did.
You worked for a distributing company first. Okay, got you.
And that's how I learned components and how roofing worked. And I met a lot of roofing contractors.
Got it. And then you talked about you actually worked in the roofing industry for a little bit for another company, right? Before you started your own. And you had some experience. Talk about that, how that happened. Because I think you had experience. You helped grow that. You were very important in growing that business. How did you grow that business?
So I started there. They were at about 1.4. And I told them we were going to finish the year at 4 million. And they laughed because that never happens, right? For them anyways. And we did. I grew a sales team. We started actually door knocking because it's one of the cheapest ways to market. We did have a storm that year, which did help. We grew in 2019 from 4 million to 7 million. I became the general manager and led the way through that. Unfortunately, the owner went through a nasty divorce and lost the business. When we found out that was all going on, we had $750,000 in booked business. And it was my name, I felt like, that was on that business, right? Even though it wasn't my responsibility per se, I felt accountable. I talked to my sales team. I ended up getting a credit card in the mail because I had bought a car. And I started my roofing company on a $15,000 credit.
You had booked jobs from the other business that you're still responsible for. Like how were you, did you have to order materials for these businesses? Did you have to take out a loan? How did that process work?
No, I didn't take out a loan. He did give me a little bit of deposit up front and I used the credit card. I never robbed Peter to pay Paul. I was very conscientious about that. Never got dealer credit. Didn't do anything like that at the very beginning. Then as time started to progress and we started to grow, we obviously have enough money coming in to pay as it goes. And I told him that he could pay me the rest of the balance, which was about 250 grand, as soon as he had it. And January of 21, he called and said he was never going to have it. I'll be honest, I stayed in bed for a week almost. I was very depressed. I had $8,000 left in my business checking account, and it was February now, and that's winter here. I had a team of 7 people to support, and I knew that I couldn't make payroll. I called them all over to the house, and we went through stuff, and I was really honest, and I said, I think the best thing to do is to give all of you guys $1,000 and let me help you find a job. And we did our best, but nobody can make it through a $250,000 loss their first year. So my sales manager ended up standing up. He goes, well, we knew this was going on and we've talked about it. And you two single moms take paychecks, but us guys are going to work for free. Just don't quit. I realized my team believed in me more and what we were doing than I did. And that's not okay as a leader. I pulled myself out of my little funk. We divided and conquered. We did end up getting second round of PPP loans, which helped. And we grew. The only budget we had nothing for was marketing and branding. So as much as I hate social media, right? And I am challenged by some of the ways that technologies has developed over time and AI, right? I'm older and it's different. And so I rebel sometimes, even though I know I don't have a choice. So on social media, I knew it was a great tool. I just didn't know how to use it yet. I sent out 400 friend requests to people that I thought others might ask them about contractors or roofing or something along those lines, contacts, networking. I must have hit some Facebook algorithms. I didn't really understand those things at the time, but I started to get 100 to 200 friend requests a day. And they were all the same type of people. Like it was a very clean category. And I filtered them as well. I didn't accept anybody that didn't fall inside of that. So my audience grew appropriately with who I was, if that makes sense. From there, I was asked to speak at the IRE on generating an additional stream of revenue. At that time, I was thinking about doing solar. And so that's what I thought they were going to have me talk about. So I get down there and we're on the panel. We're getting ready to go. And I'm like, okay, so this is what I'm going over. And they're like, oh no, you're going over how your personal brand has changed the revenue and brought an additional stream of revenue. And I'm like, what's a personal brand? I genuinely didn't know what I was doing. And they kind of explained it to me and I was like, oh yeah, all the videos I made about content for education on roofing and, you know, calling myself the roofing mom. And I did that to disconnect. Didn't feel like I was always selling because it really wasn't my intention. And things just kind of blew up from there. I started speaking in the industry, helping contractors understand the financial side of their business, alternative solutions to the way that insurance work is done in the country, when especially related to roofing. And I launched a product. So it has been an incredible 4 to 5 years since I've discovered what a personal brand was. Our roofing company is amazing. We haven't paid for marketing other than like business cards.
A quick thing before we get back to it. I'm hosting a small private workshop in Miami Beach on May 22nd. 30 contractors max. We're covering how to turn the leads you're already generating to actual revenue using systems and AI. The whole conversion side of your business that most people ignore. It's at the Palms Hotel, $297 to attend. And we review every application. If you're doing $2 million or more and you feel like you should be further ahead, this room is for you. Go to contractormarketingpros.net/event. Seats are going fast.
Through network from Facebook, adding people to your network. When you add people on Facebook, right, people are added, they follow you. And if you post content, they get to see that content. And that's the whole idea. Obviously, it works the same with LinkedIn and all that, right?
Content's really important because they want to know you, right? And people are, when I talk to people about this, oftentimes like, well, I don't want to be personal. And I go, well, you don't have to share all aspects of your life, right? There's just some that you let people in on so they feel like they know you too. And that worked really well. So a variety of different kinds of content, educational content, funny content, right? Making like where I did something silly and I made fun of myself. Content with my kids, my dog. I never talked about dating or, you know, any of those things because I didn't want that side of my personal life. But everything else works and people felt like they knew me. And even when I'd speak, I'd have people come up to me and I could tell they felt like they knew me. It was a little weird for me.
Yeah, that's important. So you mentioned the types of content. Okay, so let's kind of break it down. So, you know, you grew your network for the first thing on Facebook, you added people, 8 people started adding you, and then you kind of built a following. Did you start posting content every day or every 2 days, or how did that look like?
At the beginning, I didn't understand the consistency of content. As things started to progress, once a day didn't work for me, right? And I realized that Facebook doesn't necessarily care if it's every day, as long as it's consistent. And actually it hurts you if you get into a consistent pattern and break it. You're almost better off to be sporadic than to do want to do that. But yeah, I posted once a week for a while, and then I moved up to a few times a week, and then I cut back and realized that it hurt me. So I just committed to once.
Okay. What kind of content did you post?
Most of the time it was roofing education, whether they needed a new roof, how flashings failed, what to do if you find shingles in your yard, you know, after a storm, different types of shingles, what different components are, that kind of stuff mostly.
Well, so mostly written content or video content?
All video.
Okay. So you got in the front of a camera, which a lot of people don't like doing, right? And you started posting content on your iPhone, right? That's it? Your iPhone just speaking like a selfie video?
Yep, that's all I did.
Got it. And then you started posting videos that just people have questions on, like common questions that people have about roofing, right? That's what it is, right?
And you know what now is cool is there's so much with AI. You could create a content calendar and not have to think about it, right? And talk about, hey, what are the most common things that people want to know? And honestly, it's going to be important for Google in the future anyways. Most owners that I talk to are uncomfortable taking videos. And the number one thing I can tell people is just don't ever watch your video.
Why? Why?
Because we're really critical of ourselves. Our facial expressions, our words, like I've stumbled a few times during this call, right? Because I'm a normal human. And we have a tendency to want to stop and re-record it. And if we do that, it takes too much of our time. And people don't expect us to be perfect, right? So, I mean, there's many times I've like, blah, 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 rewind, play. I don't even know what I'm trying to say to you guys right now, right? Like, and just to get myself back on track because I didn't have time to do 50 takes. And once I stopped watching them, it didn't matter.
I think that's why people connected with you because you had the authentic voice. And people connected with that. They don't want to be, especially on your Facebook, they don't want like a script, you know, or super polished type of videos. Sometimes it works better, the kind of the raw type of content that works better. And you talk about this. Okay. So when that happened, when you started posting content, what happened?
I started getting followers. Facebook started putting me in front of more people. I could tell that my badges and different things would go up and I would be considered a top creator and I'd get all these incentives and now I get paid. That's not a lot of money, but I do get paid almost every, I think it's monthly, Facebook deposits money in.
That's something people don't know is that your personal Facebook page can be a great marketing platform.
Yes.
Right, for your business.
And you never, don't ever go in as your business, right? Because if you go in as your business, most Facebook groups or other things are going to suppress you or make you advertise. So if you go in as yourself and provide education, but have links to your business in your bio, or even tag your business, like you're here with this business, that's all okay. But you have to be really careful to make sure that you're providing the education and not violating what group rules are and stuff.
I wanted to start working on that. Actually, you gave me that inspiration because I do post my content too, but most of the content is because I think for me, it's more, I like writing more than videos, but I've gotten to start doing more videos. You know, the videos I typically do are kind of scripted. So that kind of raw information, I think people want to hear. I think it produces a lot better. Okay, now you have your lab. There's one person, I don't know if you know him, Raymond Little, Perimeter Roofing. He did that too as well. And one thing he did, I don't know if you guys did the same thing, but he had his sales reps start doing that as well. And his sales reps, they would start posting content on their own personal page, right? And they would tag, they were basically, a good example was every time they completed a roofing project, they would kind of take a picture of the homeowner, right? Like a regular selfie picture. And they would actually do a video of the actual job being completed, like before and after. And they would have the owner, homeowner, they would actually have them share on their own personal page. So the homeowner shares to their network, it kind of creates a viral effect. The neighbors start seeing that content and start reaching out to the roofer because, hey, this is content I can see, right? You did my neighbor's house. I'm jealous. Let me talk to the roofer. They did a great job and reach out to you. Is that kind of how it worked for you guys too as well, or similar to that?
No, the sales team didn't really do that. I don't know why, we didn't think about it or if it was something they didn't want to do. It just wasn't something that we talked about. I have had people ask me about that before. And if you have a great culture, you have no risk. But if you know that you don't, and that there's a chance that these people are going to take the brand that you're building with them and leave, you have to be cognizant of that too.
And you did it out of necessity, right? Talk about that. Talk about the why you did it, because there's, for you, it's like no going back. It was basically burning the ships and you had to figure out something. Like, that kind of gave you the push. Talk about that.
Well, when you have no money, right, but a team that's genuinely willing to work for free, who does that? You can't not move forward. At least I couldn't. I couldn't let them down. I was uncomfortable. I was outside of my comfort zone for a long time, but so were they. They had to have been. And you just do it. Just like anything else in life, all it takes is starting to move forward. And not quitting. That's what most people do, is they just quit. They don't look for a different way to do it or not watch their videos, right? Instead of it taking too many hours.
So you were uncomfortable.
Very.
But you still did it anyway.
Yes.
That's the thing that I think for me, like, I've had issues. So for example, like if I client, one of the things that to be successful with any, for example, any Facebook campaign, one of the things that we help them is understand, hey, if you create video content, like content like you had, and run ads with it where more people can see it, that would work really well. And the issue is that a lot of these guys do not take that step. They're afraid of creating that content for whatever reason, and then they want the Facebook campaign. But if you have that video content like that, that's going to help you with the content. So it's getting out of your comfort zone, right? Getting out of your comfort zone, right?
Well, and I think they're going to be forced, right? If Google is genuinely moving toward authority rankings, going through videos and blogs and linking to direct search phrases, right? They're going to have to start making videos. they're going to have to start making content or they're not going to stay relevant. And that's what kind of talking about earlier is a lot of the people in roofing or in construction are older because there was a period of time where it was disgraceful to not go to college, right? And we have a gap in that employment range or whatever we're going to call. They're coming back. I can see them, but it's going to take us a little bit of time. And I'm afraid that our injury will, or not our industry, will age out before that happens because of their unwillingness to adapt.
Yeah, I mean, I experience the same thing with a lot of contractors that we work with. It's that willingness to adapt because they've been successful. It's like teaching an old new dog new tricks. It's you know they don't want to change and embrace that change. Typically, the younger demographics, like you said, in the construction space, in the home services space, do embrace that change. But it's also like you said it yourself last time we spoke, is that fear factor with technology, too, mm-hmm. is that fear and overcoming that. But then everybody that has an iPhone now, it's not
as scary as as I thought it was.
Yeah.
Since our initial conversation, I actually got into ChatGPT and started to work on some things, and I wrote a repair and maintenance program. And honestly, it was a really nice experience. I didn't have to type. We talked back and forth. It's my work. It's my thoughts, right? They just helped me formulate it in a clean manner that I didn't have to go back and clean it up.
Yeah. And something that I recommend, I actually, when I, for you, I've been using, you know, AI for like 3 years now since it came out. And I only recently started talking to it, which is much more effective. I realized much faster to speak to it. Cause it's like, instead of writing it, you speak to it much faster. You get your thoughts down and it just works as a tool. It's a tool, guys. That's all it is. It's a tool, guys.
It's not replacing human thinking yet, right? We're not quite there. Our kids, maybe, I hate that they can just go in there and get any answer without having to put any creative thought into it. But it is how they grew up. It's their generation. It doesn't mean it's wrong because it's different. We just have to get used to it.
Exactly. So you started posting content and then you had people reach out to you and just want to do business for you, they wanted to do more business with you.
We were getting tagged in posts for people looking for roofers that I didn't even know the people that suggested us.
In Utah.
And it came from building trust. So people would watch my content and understand that I knew what I was talking about and didn't have a problem referring me, even though they didn't know me.
You were getting referrals without even actually doing the work. So most obviously some people refer people all the time and you think they have to be a customer. Yeah, and your customers can be your best salespeople, right? If you like with the work,
absolutely.
But if people see your content, that means they didn't do business with you. They still referred you because they trust you, because of the trust you built with the audience.
And that's where the education, vulnerability, and sharing your personal life comes in, because that's what builds trust.
What are the things that you shared that you thought were vulnerable and that kind of build that connection with the audience?
Just letting people into my life. I found really quickly you can't be vulnerable on social media. Facebook doesn't like it and they suppress it because I tested different content at the very beginning. I posted one day that I had just had a really rough day and I knew it wasn't going to end rough, but I was in the middle of it. Didn't get in front of anybody. 2 likes. And the next day I turned around and posted almost the same thing, just phrased differently, about being happy and grateful. Tons of views. So it could have been the audience. People get uncomfortable seeing vulnerability or negativity in someone's life, or Facebook. And I don't know. I just stopped doing that.
One thing that people like to see, even though it kind of, you know, I've tested it before and it sounds like, for me, like I'm very kind of, I kind of do consider myself a humble person, is actually celebrating wins. So if you talk about yourself a lot, actually, and celebrate your wins, it actually gets the most engagement.
And I get that. It was just, sometimes you want to just be real about having a shitty day and you can't sometimes. That's just not the place to go. So when I talk vulnerability, it's really just doing this with my kids. Or there were times when I had a hard time with my kid and I would share about that as a parent. That was okay. Just not me.
Yeah. So guys, that's what I want to kind of impart about this lesson specifically, because it's important about building a personal brand. And then she started getting invited to different events and speaking about building that, and that kind of build that on even further. Did you post your videos? Did you ever like film those events?
Oh, I have so much footage. I also did a 12 city tour in 22. So that was a lot on top of the other speaking events that I was doing. So we have lots and lots of content. I don't know what I'll ever do with all of it because it doesn't always pertain here.
Got it. So obviously that built that content. Now let's talk about the other thing we talked about was insurance, right? You've been outspoken about the insurance-driven model. What do you think it's fundamentally broken about it?
There's a lot of things, but mainly contractors that solely rely on the insurance proceeds business. One, what if a storm doesn't come? It's not a dependable stream of revenue. Secondly, most of them use the program Xactimate and don't truly understand what their margins are, which is why so many roofing contractors go out of business. Or you hear about the guys that took the deposit and ran away because they got so far behind because they don't really understand what their cost of goods are. They're looking at it like, this is okay per square, but not really accommodating for everything. I also think that consumers need to learn to advocate for themselves. They're signing policy because they don't know any different. Most people understand their car insurance. They understand their medical insurance, but their homeowner's insurance, they usually don't even know who their insurer is because it's paid through their escrow. That doesn't help this get better, right? Nobody can hold carriers accountable or contractors accountable because who we need there is consumers and they don't know. Here, this is a great one. You know how much you would get if your house burned down today?
I actually don't know.
Nobody does. And that should be foremost, right? You know what your deductible is or your out of pocket. You know what your car is going to be worth. But your house burns down and nobody knows if they're covered. That's a problem because most people aren't. They're barely covered to cover the mortgage, not to rebuild. So what are they going to do after that? My mission to get people back in their lanes has nothing to do with seeing contractors as bad or insurance companies as bad. It's we can't keep doing this to consumers. Too many people lose everything or can't afford insurance.
It's being more of a consumer advocate.
Because we all are consumers. Yeah, and that's how I look at those things. I got custody of my 13-year-old about a year ago. And so I pretty much completely stopped traveling 2 years ago as that started and started working on a different way that I could help and support, because this is going to take time. It's going to take time for people to start to save. It's going to take time for policies to change and laws and all of those things. So in the short term, I came up with a solution for people who have minor damage or don't have money for a new roof and need a bridge. And that's the main thing that I'm focused on right now, other than my roofing company.
And we'll talk about that. It's kind of a solution about kind of creating a solving the problem that a lot of homeowners face, right? And without actually having a full replacement. It's being the same thing you said, being consumer advocate. I think, I don't know if you would agree with me about this, but I think a lot of roofers, they would rather just sell the replacement, full replacement, even though sometimes the homeowner doesn't really need it, right?
They don't need it. Not every roof needs to be replaced. It just doesn't. And it is complicated sometimes when they don't, right? With if they have different repairs or things that roofing salespeople don't always understand. They're good at door knocking. Oftentimes they're good at putting together a roofing package, but understanding what really goes into that and how to break it down, they don't. So they just tell people they need a new roof and give them a bid for that. And if they don't, they don't even call back.
Yeah, they don't even call back.
That's what we.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
You're the only one that even got back with us. And I was like, did you say you needed a repair? And they're like, yeah.
Got it. A lot of times too, there's a comment that you mentioned earlier was undercharging, right? Undercharging for your actual services. That's basically because they don't understand the numbers. And I think that I talked to one of our clients and, been around for like 30 years. So they kind of know the industry very well. And one of the biggest things he said is about a lot of contractors undercharge for their services. So they undercharge for their services considerably, and that gets them in trouble when they're, ordering materials and they're really far behind in cash. How do you think they can overcome that?
Depends on how far behind they are. I've helped a lot of guys that have gotten in that situation and helped them pull out. There's some I couldn't because they were just too buried. You have to stop when it starts and not keep going and letting it keep build. Right. And figure out how to cover that particular job so that you stop robbing from Peter to pay Paul, whether you have to get a line of credit and slowly pay that back. Like I did, I put mine on a personal credit card at the beginning, right, to make sure that those things didn't happen. But once you're too far down the rabbit hole, if you don't have cash or another storm doesn't come and you can't increase your pricing or whatever, you're probably not going to be able to recover. And a lot of these people, what they do is they'll settle on these claims with insurance companies for low amounts when they're in a cash tight situation. And then going down the road, they never can catch up from that because they keep just trying to settle. And that's why I think Xactimate is such a bad program for contractors. Right? It's good for the insurance companies to look at the bid and see if it's reasonable. Like what's average, which I believe is how it was designed, but it doesn't help contractors at all.
It's about overhead and profit, right? Which is something that Steve Patrick, I don't know if you know Steve Patrick, he talks about.
I do.
It's about, charge. That's the common one, to actually charge a little bit more, 20-30% more than that, to give you the padding you need to actually have a successful job and make profits on it.
Yep. I agree with him. But most companies won't pay overhead and profit. And profit. And that's what contractors will try to wait for it, but it doesn't work because they just won't. And then they settle and they get behind.
And that leads to the other thing is that the issue is that when you undercharge for your services, you leave very little room for marketing expenses. And you should set up, if you plan it correctly, you should have a budget in mind for the year, right? So if you have, say, like, typical roofing budget, but people recommend is 5%. Other industries are more like 7 to 8 to 10%.
Yeah, 15%. Or 5 is high. Most are between 2 and 3.
Yeah, 1 or 2 or 3%, 100%. So see, you talk to a lot of contractors, you know this, and what people say versus what they do is typically very different. So yeah, most people are not spending money in marketing, and that one that hurts when that. What's happened too is it's a lot more competitive now. So these other more sophisticated people are coming into the space, people like the private equity guys, and they're just jumping up the costs because they're like spending way more. Because like I say, I know how to control my costs.
So they are and they aren't, right? So they're able to absorb a lot of marketing costs inside of discounts because of the quantities that they're ordering, right? And that's, so they have lower material prices, so they can therefore substitute some of that revenue into other areas that they can do all of it. And it is hard. It's hard to compete with big conglomerates, but people still want to buy from people. And that's why the personal brand is so important for the small businesses.
That is a big inherent advantage when you have a lot of companies under your umbrella. You can lower the pricing of your materials, which gives you a big competitive advantage because you can charge the same amount or even reinvest some of that money into like marketing and other channels. But you're right. Like having that personal brand is a way to overcome that. It's a way to overcome that, but it's not super expensive. It just takes time.
Right. It's free. You just have to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. So just make sure to just keeping consistent with content. You have to find more like innovative ways to compete. And that's one way to do it.
You just have to look at it like it's another part of the job, right? And not like it's Facebook and social, like this is part of my day. I would have wrote this note. I was going to talk to this employee. I'm going to make this video.
Now you talk about RegeneRoof, but it's called, how do you call it?
It's RejuvaRoof.
RejuvaRoof. Gotcha. Yeah. It's a product that you launched. So what gap did you see in the marketplace that led you to that launch?
We didn't have a good solution for homeowners to buy them time. There obviously are other rejuvenators out there, RoofMax, GoNano, Ugly Roof. There's quite a few. What I thought was missing, one, was free market. Everybody had franchise options, and all that did was support the private equity, right, in having those options, and doesn't help the smaller guys. But secondly, I wanted a product that functionally improved the roof, right? Not just hydrated it. And granule retention does functionally improve the roof, but I wanted more than that. And I worked with an asphalt engineer, and we found that his formulation with a couple tweaks, it blew our mind away. It activates the tar strip, it spreads out hail divots, thermal cracking, it will reseal the shingles from wind damage or lifting or just normal seals breaking. It makes brittle shingles repairable. And our certified applicators offer a 10-year warranty.
Typically, how much does you charge a homeowner for these services?
The cost, okay, for a contractor is about $50 a square or 50 cents a square feet. We charge around a dollar. So what market are you in again?
Florida.
Okay. So in Florida, where in Florida?
South Florida, Miami.
So roofing out there, I believe, is $600 to $800 a square for a shingle roof, depending on exactly where it is down there. Your cost would be the same, right? It doesn't cost anymore because the pricing is standard. There is no tiered pricing or, oh, the private equities are going to get more. If they order in different quantities that don't require packaging, right, like a 5-gallon bucket, then anybody has the option to do that. But you're looking at an eighth of the cost or a seventh of the cost with a 10-year warranty. Now, we still can't protect against hurricanes and tornadoes and those things, right? But that's why you have homeowners insurance. This is here for the wear and tear and just to buy you time in case those things don't come through, because we can't rely.
And why do you believe that, you know, selling these programs helps homeowners instead of just, you know, why do you believe it helps homeowners more?
The shingle rejuvenation?
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of people, you're in Florida, it's great. Who has homeowners insurance anymore that works the way they want it to work? Oklahoma has wind and hail exclusions. Texas has 2% deductibles of the entire property value, which oftentimes the deductible's more than the roof. So what do we do for these homeowners and consumers that don't have the coverage that they need or haven't saved because they didn't realize their policy switched? They went to an automatic ACV policy because for whatever reason, insurance contracts are like one of the only ones out there that I can even think of that you can send somebody a letter and say, I'm changing our terms, and you don't have to sign for it. So most people don't know because they don't know who their carrier is. Looks like junk mail. If we can structure go from one that's not sealed and help people and reseal their roof and give them 10 years of warranty, there isn't anything bad in it for homeowners.
So you believe that this is basically like, it's just, like I said before, you're being consumer advocate. That's the bottom line. Right? So you're being a consumer advocate. You're giving homeowners a more affordable option that can basically or solve their problem.
And it solves some of the crisis with insurance carriers too, right? When shingles are too brittle and roofing contractors say they can't repair them, now they can. That will help with what the carriers are spending in expenses. And hopefully we can get to a place in the next 5 to 6 years where those premiums start to level out and people can afford it to have homeowners insurance again.
So let's talk about this. So let's to finish off. You started embracing more AI since last time we spoke, right? I told you that it's kind of the tool I used. What have you done and how you use it in your business that has helped you so far?
Well, I literally wrote a 100-page repair and maintenance program with monthly recurring revenue. I launched a mastermind, which we are meeting at the end of the month. And we are going to roll this out in 10 different cities all over the country and start to see what works in different markets and what doesn't work in different markets. Helping people save money towards whether it's a rejuvenation or it's a re-roof, coupled with small services, I think is something that companies need to consider embracing, because you're going to build long-term customers. You may not get a lot of replacements right now, but you are building your business in the future with monthly recurring revenue coming in.
Nice. If a contractor feels stuck, overwhelmed, or afraid of change, you know, what's the one thing you want to remember from this episode?
What's your purpose, right? Like for me, anytime I get uncomfortable, I have to go back to my why. And your why always has to be bigger than you. You'll quit on yourself. You won't. You're less likely to quit on other people. And speak about it often. Don't hide what you're trying to do, because people around you can support you and help you get it done. And when you're avoiding it and you say, hey, can you just force me to make this content later? People doing those things for you will get you into the habit and you just move past it.
Awesome. Jen, where do people find you?
Well, you can find me on my Facebook. Actually, all of my social media handles are at Jen Silver Official, except for TikTok. And it is The Roofing Mom. Other than that, you can go to jensilver.co or you can find me at roofingutah.com.
Awesome. Jen, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
Awesome, Jen.
Thanks for listening to AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros. If you got value from today's episode, do us a favor. Follow the show, share it with a contractor friend, and leave a quick review. Want help using AI or smarter marketing to grow your business? Head to contractormarketingpros.net and book your free strategy call.